আলহামদুলিল্লাহ রাব্বিল আলামিন ওয়াসসালাতু ওয়াসসালামু আলা সাইয়্যিদানা ওয়া নবিয়ানা তাবিবিনা ওয়া হাবিবিল্লাহ রাব্বিনা আবুল কাসিম আল মুস্তাফা মুহাম্মদ
আল্লাহুম্মা সাল্লি আলা মুহাম্মাদ ওয়া আলি মুহাম্মাদ
ওয়া আলি তাইয়্যিবিন আত-তাহিরিন আল মাসুমিন আল মাজলুমিন সিয়ামা বাকিয়াতাল্লাহ আল আযম বাকিয়াতাল্লাহ খায়রুন লাকুম ইন কুনতুম মুমিনিন ولعنه الدائم على ادائهم وغاصبي حقوقهم ومنكر فضائلهم اجمعين من الان الى قيام يوم الدين اما بعد عظم الله اجورنا واجوركم والسلام عليكم جميعا ورحمه الله وبركاته in the continuation of the discussion of the sermon of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam which he delivered on the eve of Ashura where he invited the companions to his tent, after which he asked them that they have the opportunity to leave. However, none of them left Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. To understand the sermon, we kind of looking at certain important phenomena which will make us understand the khutbah, the sermon of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Last night we pointed out to the progress and development of humans or human civilization. If it is not based upon the ma'rifat, which is a true understanding, it cannot be considered as progress, because it will be detrimental to humans. As we see today, for example, as deen, religion was separated from sciences during Renaissance, you know, in 16th century, and science was looked as independent, looked as more secular, by which we tend to see the problems and issues that we have today. Whether that be in the field of medical science, whether that be in the field of psychology, whether that be in the field of military, whether that be in the field of environment, you know. All in all, it's becoming more and more difficult for the human race to survive in the present period, in the present time. And there is not much of a solution to rectify the errors and fault. They are trying, you know, renewable energies and so on and so forth, which is part and parcel of that, to really rectify the faults of what technology have brought to mankind. Well, these are only the outward aspect of the negative effect of the modern sciences. When we look at the psychological and mental and spiritual effect, is ila mashallah, you know. The whole West tend to base their understanding of their psyche or of their psychology, of their spirit or soul, if you want to call, on lazzat, you know, Freud. Everything is that. You know, whether even that be lazzat from your mother, from your sister, it's fine, you know. And that's why we see today where the West have ended up. You know, it's purely based on the psychology of Freud. And however, they might not use that name, but in terms of what we have today is based on that. You know, that's what nafs is. You know, the soul of a man or a human being is here to enjoy its pleasure and nothing else. Even if that be any type of pleasure, any sort of attraction that humans have with each other is sex. That's what it is, you know. That's the theory. It's based on that. So obviously, the physical effects or the physical impact upon the human civilization in its place, you know, the material, the problems and issues that we have, you know, from space girifte till this dunya, you know. and the psychological and spiritual in its place that we find today. So therefore, the true development, progress of human race, a true civilization, is really that which is based upon that true knowledge of God. It's on that ma'rifat. That's why we tend to find, you know, the Anbiya and the Awliya, they were never corrupted by the power it was given to them. Prophet Sulaiman, for example, he was the mamlikat, the kingdom that was given to him was amazing, and Allah says that none in the past and future will have that, so to speak. But when it comes to justice, when it comes to not giving harm to the people, you would find that, you know, he was the best of the best. That whatever that timings, that hours of his consulting was, maybe 8 to 4 or, you know, 9 to 5, whatever. After that, in the evenings, he would go and sell hoe in the streets, you know, beel, you know, which is used in gardening. Then his son Dawood alayhi salam, you know, he was the first one who invented, you know, the art of making armor, you know. And as we ask in du'as as well, Ya Mulayyin al Hadid al Dawood alayhi salam, they say that the iron would melt in his hand, you know, in the hand of Hazrat Dawood. So he had that art, and he would, you know, craft armors from iron, and he would sell them. And that's how he made his living. Although when it comes to be the king and offer advice, so on and so forth, he did. But he wasn't corrupted by that power. But today we tend to see that whosoever gets the kursi, first of all, the one who is corrupted, he will get the kursi. You know, leaving aside, you know, after getting the kursi, he becomes corrupt. He's already corrupt. Then only he will get the kursi. You know, before that, you know, we cannot imagine. You know, a person who is just, a person who is good, he will not be able to even reach there. You know, maybe in the past, after getting the chair, after becoming the head of the state, then they become corrupt. But now it has the man have fallen more. You know. So, if the ma'rifat is subtracted or is denominated from the life of a human being, then there is that imbalance takes place, you know. And we tend to point it out to the importance of this ma'rifat, how important it is. And we also discuss the other aspect of this, which this ma'rifat, this knowledge, this understanding will bring about, is adab. That's where we stopped last night. And how important adab is, moral etiquettes. Because once that ma'rifat is there, then that adab will descend, then that adab will basically grow in one's heart. And that is why you tend to see that the Anbiya and Awliya, because of that ma'rifat that they have, how they are in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, although never committed a sin, you know, seeking forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we'll talk about tonight a bit about sins. Although never committed an act of injustice, but the way they treat their citizens, but the way they treat their friends, their family members, they have done against them, but still their response is very different. You know, one of the family members of our sixth Imam, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, who conspired against the sixth Imam and was responsible of poisoning the sixth Imam. And when Imam is about to die, he is leaving behind heritage for him. And the other family members complain that he is the one who conspired against you. The state that you are in today on the deathbed is because of him. And still you are leaving behind heritage for him. Then the Imam replied that, how can I disconnect which Allah have joined by reciting the verse in Surah Ra'd in regards to the relatives, you know. Allah have made me his relative, so how can I disconnect that? This is the methodology of our masumeen. But on the other hand, when it comes to us, we are the first one to disconnect. We are the first one to cut our relationship. Based on what? Based on petty little things. Thinking that this is Amar Bil Maruf, you know, that makes it worse. First of all, is disconnecting and using is, you know, something that is divine as a scapegoat. Using something that is divine as a medium, as a reason to, you know, disconnect and do something wrong. Nauzubillah. But how masumin were, how imams were, the compassion that they had for people, for the creation. It's a compassion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, it is through that compassion they guided people. They invited people towards that nur, towards that light. So, the other aspect is that adab that is seen in the life, in the seerah of Masumin alayhim salam, in regards to khalq and also in regards to makhluqat as well. From the animal girafte ila insan, you know, from animal till, you know, creatures till the insanat as well, right? And the enemies, you know, who are worse than animals, you know, batore batin. But still, they did not leave that opportunity to really pull them and guide them. The other aspect which I couldn't finish that, which was in regards to adab on the basis of the share of Saadi, because Saadi says that maqamate mardra mardishuno na as Saadi as suhrawardishuno. The maqamat means that the stations of man, a true man, those maqamat, you know. You should really hear that from a man who's really a man. Although Saadi was very good, you know, in terms of his, you know, ma'rifat and all that, but still his teacher was Sohrawardi. Sohrawardi was the founder of the Illuminist philosophy, Sheikh al-Ishraq, who's known as. And they say that in his class he will just go and sit, and his students will sit as well. They will be just quiet, and the ilm will be transferred from heart to heart. You know, through telepathy. You know, this was Sheikh al-Ishraq. 36, 37, they hanged him. You know, they killed him at that. But in terms of the philosophy, in terms of the legacy that he has left behind, is really fascinating. Ibn Arabi was also impacted. Mullah Sadra was impacted by his philosophy, by his understanding. So, in that little age, you know, it was really revealed on his heart. And many of, I think, one of the book that he finished was on the night of Qadr. You know, one of the philosophical works that he has, Risala, he finished on the night of Qadr, because it is Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr wa ma adraka ma laylatil qadr. You know. So therefore, it says, as na as Saadi as Sohrawardi shuno mara Sheikh Dana Murshid Shahab. His name was Shahab as well, Shahabuddin Sohrawardi. Dohar dars farmud dar ru'e ab. Upon the water, my ustad, my murshid have taught me two lessons. You know, in a boat, they were traveling perhaps. Yeki on ke dar nafs khudbin nabash. You know, do not be arrogant, do not be selfish. You know, khudbin, you know, khudkha, khudbin, nabash. Do woman yeki on ke dar khalq badbin nabash. Do not be badbin or disappointed or pessimistic with the creation. You know, do not have false opinion in regards to the creation. Dar khalq badbin nabash. It's very important, and this has been the seerah of Mahsumin. The Prophet says, bring 70 valid reasons for a brother before making a statement in regards to him, before making a false statement in regards to him. Bring 70 reasons, valid reasons. Maybe you saw someone, you know, what was that story of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, when he goes to that house of a bad kirdar lady, you know, of a corrupt lady who was known, you know, a prostitute basically. And when he comes out from her house, a man saw him, and as soon as he sees Isa, and in this place, and as you know that Isa was very beautiful, very handsome looking, and you know, perhaps 33, 36, I think he lived, and Allah lifted him in the fourth heaven, took him to the fourth heaven. So this man, when he saw Isa alayhi salam coming out of that, you know, as soon as he says this is, and he ran, you know, he wanted to go towards the city and announce that, see, Isa was saw, they saw Isa there, you know, from this house he was coming out. Then Isa called him back. He said, you know, you must be surprised that you saw me there. There are two types of maris. There are two types of people who are sick people, so to speak. One is, they are aware of their sickness and they go to the doctor. If they have an issue, they have a problem, they go to the doctor, this is what I have, and the doctor cures. The other is that the person who is really sick, he doesn't even know what problem he is, the doctor must go to their house. So this lady, she was in that state, and I came to her and I rescued her, and she has done the tawbah. And what you wanted to do is that you want to go in the marketplace and tell everybody that this is what I saw. I really saw it with my eyes. He came from her. And this is how he is and this is what it is. That's the end of it. So the second lesson, as it says, that yeki onke dar khalq badbin nabash. You know, that will solve many of our problems. All of these, we tend to be very judgmental in regards to people, in regards to ideas, in regards to everything. And whatever I think is it. It's my way or highway, basically. And especially when it comes to here. You know, there are a lot of highways here, right? You know, we call it motorways in England. You call it highways here. So therefore, you know, it's my way or highway. Whatever I, this is how it is. There is no possibility of, you know, trying to the other way around, or trying to resolve, to coming to resolve with. And when you look at, you know, Imam Khomeini, for example, when it comes to his books, Adab al-Salat, Sirr al-Salat, all of these books, you would find every time he says something, he says, perhaps, it seems, you know, really discussing those maqamat, those spiritual levels already which he has, you know, achieved, but at the same time, the way he writes is very careful, very, you know, perhaps it seems that way, it is that way. So therefore, one have to be very careful when it comes to be judgmental. One should not be judgmental. And judgmental in the sense, many times is the negative, you know, rather than being positive. Yes, this is how they are and this is what it is, and this is a sin, for example. So that's the second lesson given by, you know, Sa'di or Sohrawardi in that book. And these two things really helps our understanding, our ma'rifat. Now, tonight we want to point out to two other aspects. One is an offshoot of that ma'rifat itself, and the other is a topic which is related to this ma'rifat, and that is sins, that is guna. As we said, that as ma'rifat is the key and the most important reality of insan, to be insan, you know, he will be insan because of his ma'rifat, because of his understanding. His reward is on that basis, and we have to engage ourselves as much as we can in every affair to really increase that. And that's why you tend to see the ulama-i akhlaq, the scholars, they tend to be very, you know, very cautious in every little thing, whatever they are using, whatever they are doing. You know, they tend to think about the different aspects of it, you know, the different levels of that one creation, you know, the creation where maybe the, you know, the taste of it, then they talk about the different aspect of that taste, where does it come from. This is like one have to really engage in the intellectual discussion of little things that they are having, even the language that they are speaking, the words that they are using. Where does this really come from? Really, really look into it so that it makes it, you know, of some weight. And where one comes to the realization of the root or the cause, which is eventually ends up being Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obviously, you know. So one have to really be very cautious in every affair. So here, in regards to the ma'rifat, one of the most important aspect of the ma'rifat, or the offshoot of the ma'rifat, is the ma'rifat of the nafs. And many of the scholars and masumeen and the Qur'an have really emphasized on it. And you have discussed many, or heard or read many books that really talks about the ma'rifat. Just I'll just point out to the principal aspect, that why is it that one should really know oneself? you know, why it has been emphasized so much. However, before going on to that, I'll just mention a couple of hadiths in order to make our discussion with the with the word of the Masumin alayhi salam as a source of light and inspiration and of barakah, inshallah, with the salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Man jahala, as it says, man lam ya'rif nafsahu ba'uda an sabilih najah. A person, Amir al-Mu'min says that a person who do not recognizes oneself, you know, he is far, ba'ud, you know, ba'id, you know, ba'uda an sabil najat, from that sabil, from that path which is najat, you know. And wa khabata fi dhalal wal jahalat, and he will be in the state of, you know, ignorance and in a state of dhalalat, corruption. Remember, as we said, that the psychologists, they recognize the source of insan to be pleasure. You know, he is here to just have pleasure. That's what it is. That's what his life is worth. So whatever pleasure is, that he has to do it. So if I recognize my nafs, that I am here just for pleasure, we are seeing the results. But if I recognize myself, what is the haqiqat of my nafs? The result will be something else. So exactly what Hazrat Amir is saying, you know, he will be far away from that path of nijat, of that, you know, path which will really deliver him, which will take him for salvation. Whether this salvation be from a worldly point of view, from the materialistic point of view, still he is far away because he hasn't recognized who he is. And that's what we see in terms of the, you know, the modern man today. You know, he has recognized himself to be a purely material being. He has recognized that there is nothing but pleasure, and as much pleasure that he should have in his life, he should do that. And whatsoever comes, you know, in order to achieve that, it is all justifiable. And the problems that we see today, in the physical sense as well, forget the material sense, forget the akhirah. That is why Hazrat Amir says that a person who will dedicate himself to the Akhlaq-e-Islami, he will be living the best of his life in this dunya. Forget the hereafter. You know, if he acts according to the teachings of the Quran, according to the teachings of the Masumeen, he will have the best of life, you know, leaving aside the akhirah. So therefore, man lam ya'arif nafsahu, you know, if he doesn't recognize his self, then obviously he is ba'id, he is very far away. Man jahala nafsahu kana bighayr nafsi ajhal. If he doesn't recognize his own soul, he will be jahil from recognizing others as well. As he hasn't recognized himself, he will be jahil from recognizing other, you know, at the same time. And as he hasn't recognized, and he has laid that foundation, and those who fall for it have utilized it and spread that word around and have taken us this route, like the modern and the Western sort of civilization that we have today, for example. In another hadith, on the contrary, we find that if someone recognizes the nafs, what happens? If one doesn't, we are seeing the results. If one does, man arafa nafsahu faqad intaha ila ghayata kulli ma'rifatin wa ilm. If one recognizes oneself, he has conclude, he has reached the conclusion of the knowledge, you know, ghayat, which is the conclusion, you know, of kulli ma'rifah, of all knowledge, you know, if he has recognized himself, it is that important. In another hadith that we find, you know, from the Imam, Adamul jahal jahalul insan amr nafsi, the greatest jahal is the jahal of his own nafs. And the other one, he says that the greatest, man shaghala nafsahu bighayr nafsihi tahayyara fi dhulumat, a person who will be afar away from knowing himself, he has really doomed it and lost it. On the contrary, the one who have recognized himself, he has find the najat, he has find, you know, direction. In a dua of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, we recite, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الَّذِينَ عَرَفُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. Ya Allah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that make us from those who recognizes the self. And by doing so, فَكَانَتْ أَمَارُهُمْ فِي تَعَتِكَ تَفْنِي. And by doing so, I will recognize and I will have the certainty in you and will be an obedient servant of you. So it is through our recognition, we are recognizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The most famous hadith, مَنْ عَرَفَ رَبَّهُ فَقَدْ, you know, مَنْ عَرَفَ نَفْسَهُ فَقَدْ عَرَفَ رَبَّهُ, right? In one of the books of Idris, you know, فِي صُحُفِ الْإِدْرِيس, it says, مَنْ عَرَفَ خَلْقْ عَرَفَ خَالِقْ وَمَنْ عَرَفَ الرِّزْقْ عَرَفَ الرَّازِقْ وَمَنْ عَرَفَ نَفْسَهُ عَرَفَ رَبَّهُ. In one of the treaties of Idris, it says, the Prophet Idris. So a person who recognizes the خَلْقْ, the creation, he would recognize the خَالِقْ. A person who recognizes the risk, sustenance, would recognize the razik. A person who recognizes his soul will recognize the Lord. Now, why is it so much, why so much emphasis on knowing of the nafs? They say that while Allama in Tafsir al-Mizan, where he's discussing the hadith in regards, the ayat in regards to the nafs, where he says, we'll show them our signs within themselves and upon the horizon. He mentions that it is due to that when a person recognizes his self, that he is existing, number one. That itself is a proof of the existence of God. That's number one. And number two, when he recognizes that, yes, he is existing, but look how limited, look how incontrollable his being is. You know, he's dependent on every little thing, on something else. Then he will recognize that, you know, his dependent is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he will recognize that there is a Lord, which is basically the one who is in charge of things and affair. Only today there was an article in BBC that they, I think German doctors, they have recently discovered a ligament in the knee that will help them. You know, after how many years they recently found out. You know, it's a human body, but look how many years later that they have discovered, right? You know, once again, it's pointing out to that there's an alam here. There's a whole universe within insan, whether that be physical, whether that be psychological or spiritual, that a person, that an insan have within himself. I mean, we haven't really discovered our physical aspects of our organs and what it does. Every time we hear this medicine will do that, and all of a sudden after a few years something changes because the reaction is something different. You know, so we haven't even reached to the conclusion of what is our physical body and how it functions and how it reacts to different things and the things that are there and what is the true purpose of that. Leaving aside the alaykum salam, leaving aside the spiritual and the psychological aspect of it. So therefore, the recognition of the self, in the nutshell, is because that his existence is in connection or is because of that existence, which is La Yazal, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that wujud, that existence, that he is hay, he's alive, he's here. You know, and he cannot deny that. And on the same token, in the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists. Nevertheless, you know, recognizing of that wujud will bring about the recognition of other qualities of that person. You know, when they discovered, when the brothers of Yusuf, when they went to Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, first they saw Yusuf, right? They saw a man, you know, somebody is there, that wujud, that. And then after that, they said, oh, are you Yusuf? You know, after they recollected the qualities of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, and then they sort of, you know, understood that, oh, he is Yusuf. So that is the first thing, is that wujud, that existence itself. And then, and the other is possible as well. There are traditions and ayat which points out to that there are signs upon the horizon. You know, it is through sign, through different sort of ayat, one would come to the recognition of the Lord as well. But the most aham, or the most important and most, then that which is emphasized, is that the ma'rifat of the nafs, because it's very close to us rather than outside. It's there where you really look into oneself. And in terms of the ayat that is out there, is the same thing, yes. You know, one really recognizes them, to contemplate in them, and then come to the realization, where is the root and where is the cause of it? And that has been emphasized, the ma'rifat of the khalaiq. Now, the other aspect, which is really related to this ma'rifat of the nafs, which becomes difficult for one to recognize, and at the same time it becomes a vehicle to recognize us, is that sin that a person commits. You know, and this becomes a hurdle, a hijab, for recognizing the self as well, for having that ma'rifat. You know, as Agha Behajat says that, you know, the first step that you take towards the masiyat, towards not fulfilling the awamir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you know that. And the second step, where you would take, you don't know. The first step you're taking, you know that you're doing the masiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but after that, what will happen? Only Khuda knows. You don't really know where that will take you, where it will guide you, where it will sort of destroy you. As soon as you have taken that step, that's it. You know, in that valley of sins, in that valley of errors and mistakes. So committing of sin really becomes that hijab. Why, you know, in every sort of sermon of Friday and Masumeen, they talked about God consciousness, you know, ittaqullah. You know, in one of the hadiths of our seventh Imam, where in Usul, second volume of Usul Kahfi, where he quotes Hakim, Luqman, he talks about three things which are very important for protecting oneself from sin. When he says ittaqullah, you know, first thing is that God consciousness. The second thing is that tawakkul, and the third thing is sabr, is that patience. You know, these three things Imam uses as a prescription to protect oneself from sins. So that becomes a hurdle, an impediment, and hijab from increasing our ma'rifat and understanding. And Imam Hussein, on the day of Ashura, he has gone there and he has said, it is really the sins that is not allowing you for my word to reach you. It is the haram that you have eaten. You know, it doesn't really allow you to really be guided from the guidance that I'm giving, the advice that I'm giving. You're not taking the irshad, you know, from my speech, from my word. It is because what you have eaten. It is because what you have done in terms of your ma'asiyat, in terms of, you know, the acts of shahwat and in the things that you have indulged yourself in, it is not allowing you to do that. You know, as they say, you know, they have really fallen down. You know, a child who have no power to do anything, and the child is already in a state of fear, it doesn't take much of a time for that person who is looting the property to say that, you know, give me your earring. But he doesn't do that. He snatches it. And when they ask him, why do you do that? He said, someone else will take it. It leads the person to that level, that he doesn't even have that insaniyat. For the sake of that maal, for the sake of that, you know, dunya, you know, he is committing something that cannot be imagined. It's unimaginable, that act. So that's, the sins will take a person to that level. And the only nijat and the only way to really come out of that is the seeking, and even to the extent where one is accepting that he is a sinner and using that. And you know, when we look at the du'as of Masumin alayhi salam, especially the Munajat Shabaniya, we tend to find that Imam says that my iqrar of dhunub is a wasila towards you. You know, Allah, the sins that I have committed, I'm using this itself as a wasila to come to you, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Imam is providing us with a methodology of no escape. That, okay, I am a sinner, I have committed mistakes and errors. Do not be hopeless, be hopeful. And even the sins that you have committed, use this as a wasila to come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because iqrar of the sins is what? Acceptance of the sin is nothing but magnifying the perfection of the Lord. When I'm saying I'm nothing and this is how low I am, vis-a-vis what? Vis-a-vis that Allah is the divine, Allah is the perfect, Allah is the most powerful, He is the Kamil. And one of the hikmat behind Masumin alayhim salam saying that we commit a sin is that, not that na'uzubillah that they commit sin. No. It is that they are showing their utmost humility in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying that we have. However, sin itself has its own darajat and its own levels. You know, for Masumin alayhim salam, tawajjuhat, their focus towards multiplicity, for them it is considered as a sin even. You know, for them that is also a sin, for example, that they have to sit, they have to eat, they have to drink, they have to speak to Abu Jahl instead of being in sajda, for example. That hour, instead of speaking to Abu Jahl, they would love to be in the sajda saying Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdi. But they had to. And that even is from the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But still there is a difference there. These tawajjuhat, their focus is upon the multiplicity. For them, they regard it as a sin and they say, they seek forgiveness for that. You know, any lazzat that is there other than the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they seek forgiveness for that. So therefore, sin tend to really create a big sort of impact or a blow or becomes chain for us to really reach and be guided towards that light, being delivered by Masumin alayhim salam, by being delivered by the Quran. And Prophet, in every nishas, they say, every sitting that the Prophet had, he would at least say 35 to 40 times astaghfar. In every meeting, every sitting that he used to have, although Prophet is a Prophet, but he will still say astaghfar. You know, so therefore, the other aspect that we find that in where it becomes difficult for insan to really hold on to and be guided with that knowledge and ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is sins. You know, and it becomes to the level of summun bukmun umyun fahum la yarja'un. That's what the Quran says. A person continuously, when he commits that, he reaches to a point that when that hidayat is coming, you know, the ear is there, but there's no, you know, sort of effect on it. The eyes is there, but he doesn't see. You know, so sins does that. And on the other hand, for those who have that ma'rifat of the nafs, who knows oneself and seeks astaghfar from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reaches to a point that in Kufa, that business was as usual, two companions on the horse meeting each other. He says, one of them says to the other, that shall I inform you of something, that I see you in the future, that a spear will be, you will be attacked by a spear and you will be killed and hanged onto this tree and your limbs will be cut and your tongue will be pulled, but still you will be praising Amirul Mumineen. And then this man replies to the other, that shall I inform you of something, that I see you, that you will become an old man. And then you will be in the wilderness, surrounded by enemies, and will be cut into pieces. And then they left. Another person approaches, and then his name was Rashad, apparently. I'm forgetting his name. They ask, what happened? What did you see? You know, he asked the people who were around and were in that meeting, so to speak. He said, I saw Habib and Maysam. Habib told Maysam that this is what will happen. Your tongue will be pulled and you will be hanged to this very tree. They know about the future. This is what the ma'rifat brings. But even after that, you will be praising Amirul Mumineen. Because the ma'rifat of the Imam is the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, isn't it? And then what did Maysam said? Maysam says to Habib that in the near future, you will become old and you will be in Karbala and enemies will butcher you, will ambush you and will kill you. Then this companion who was also of Amirul Mumineen, that's it. Did they stop there? He said, yes, they stopped there. Let me add something. Maysam should have said that after they killed Habib, they will hang the head of Habib in the horse. And this horse, when it will approach with the caravan of Imam Hussein, with the women and children of Imam Hussein in Kufa, a 13, 14-year-old son of Habib will run behind this head. So these men were the followers, true followers of Imam, of Masumin. They are the role models. That's where we have to go. That's where we have to reach to be considered the companion of the Imam of our time, as tonight is the night of Eve of Friday, the day of Imam Zaman is tomorrow. As we believe that our amal is shown to the Imam of our time. Already he has enough troubles and problems, issues. You think when he is informed that 70 people killed in Pakistan because they were doing azadari of Imam Hussain, does that make any sort of joy, bring that joy to his heart? To the extent we recite in Ziyarat of every Friday that he is in khawf and fear for his life. He changes places. They are after him from that time up until now. And all of these amal of ours, if it goes there, that this week, this is what you have done. And he says, oh, he is a follower of me. He attends the majalis of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. Still after that, this is how careless he was in terms of his prayers, in terms of his, you know, amal, in terms of his actions, what he has done. What will happen to the heart of the Imam? It really burns. It really hurts. So the day is, the eve is the eve of Friday, the eve of the Imam of our time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase in our ma'rifat of the Imam of our time and the ma'rifat of Deen-e-Islam, of Qur'an. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of our sins, the sins of our marhumeen, and mahshur them with Ahl Bayt alayhimus salam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala haste the reappearance of our 12th Imam and include us as the faithful companions of the Imam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the life, honor, dignity of the lovers of Ahl Bayt alayhimus salam, no matter where they live in the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the azadari of Imam Hussein, no matter where it has been performed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of these azadari. Allahumma aghfir lil mu'mineen wal mu'minat wal muslimin wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat tabi' baynana wa baynahum bil khairat innaka mujibud da'wat innaka waliul hajat innaka ala kulli shay'in qadir. Rahimallahu man qara' al fatiha li arwahil mu'mineen wal mu'minat, especially the marhumin of the brothers and sisters who are present here, with a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli